This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Aaron Ferragoni, our producer. You say you're feeling a little something. Something's going around, have you noticed, with family and friends after the holiday gatherings?
I have, but surprisingly, each year, if I get anything, it's a very small percentage. This year, I am just holding on. But my mom gave me a really cool secret remedy that I really believe helped, actually.
What do you got? Share it, please.
Okay, so you take a full onion.
Oh, boy.
Mashed up, a full clove of garlic. Honey, yeah, real stanky. Honey. And lemon, lots and lots and lots of lemon, like the out of a bottle, because you just can't do that many fresh lemons. And you let it boil and you just drink it like tea. And it really, I mean, it just feels good, but also it helps with congestion, fever, if you're feeling crazy. So, yeah.
It's funny you say that, because yesterday I had a couple of moments where I thought might be getting a cold. In the back of the throat, kind of feeling a little bit weird.
Yep.
Yeah. How do you feel today?
Good.
You look good.
Thank you.
Thank God. On our live stream. Yeah. So, all right. Well, I just noticed that a lot of people are going through that right now.
I can tell you one thing. I'm washing my hands carefully, and I'm not missing on my zinc and vitamin C supplements.
Right. Exactly.
It's such a cliche, but it's absolutely right. We talked about this for many years. The late Dr. Bruce Dixon, who was the head of the Allegheny County Health Department for many years, way before COVID, he used to tell us, and you heard this, Paul, he would say the number one thing you can do to take care of yourself this time of the year in particular is to properly wash your hands. And we kind of chuckled about it.
Right.
But it's true. So we take every morning to disinfect the studio.
I mean, I've been doing that for years. Bob Koppler, my predecessor.
That's right.
He sanitized his work area.
But do you know why?
We're going back more than 20 years now.
Can I share our audience a little insight?
It's a great story. Go ahead.
Two specific incidents occurred with Bob Koppler, the former Marine, who had a coffee cup with the flag raising at Iwo Jima.
I think it's safe to say that Bob liked his work area squared away.
Squared away. It was right. The only cubicle that had sandbags, too. We'll say that. So, Aaron, you'll love this. So, one of Rob Pratt's seven fishes they used to do in the studio, and it was on a Friday of the holiday, and they brought in all the fish, including an octopus.
Oh, my gosh.
And they put it in the trash.
Nice.
And then the team that cleans was off for the holidays. So when Bob showed up on Monday, 3 days
later. So in other words, the octopus was really ripe at that point.
Oh.
With its arms hanging out of his waist basket.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody thought that through.
Nightmare.
Wow.
But there was a bonus issue, and this is when Bob started using, way before it was popular, all kind of disinfected Lysol, which has been around for...
I use.
All right, so Trish Beatty, who used to be a midday host here when we were playing music for many years, she had a baby. And she came into the station and had the baby with her. And she changed the baby on Bob's
Lord.
Desk and then left the loaded diaper.
This poor guy. His desk has been hazed, it sounds like.
Of all the indignities.
My goodness.
I mean, in the newsroom back then, Aaron, to give you some idea, was a kind of an open setting. People would just plop down wherever. You know, you know, even if you had your own work area, people would, you know, just sit down and have a snack and then leave the mess behind.
I'm shocked Larry just drank his coffee while you said that. I was afraid he was going to spray it anywhere.
It's such a vivid memory as we watch our news editor, Pat Septak.
Wipe down, I'm sure. New,
he's got there a fistful.
It's time for the 6 o'clock hose down in the newsroom.
All right, the number one story in the world is coming out of Venezuela, and I'm sure you have heard, but an update from CBS and Michael George.
Former Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife are back in a Brooklyn detention center awaiting their next court date. The two made their first court appearance under heavy guard, during which Maduro proclaimed his innocence, saying he was kidnapped from his home. In Washington, some top Democratic leaders say briefings about the mission from Trump administration officials left them with more questions than answers. CBS's Bradley Blackburn was at court yesterday and has the latest for us.
There were some extraordinary moments outside that courthouse yesterday with demonstrators celebrating Maduro's capture and others calling for his release. And inside, the scene was just as dramatic. Clad in khaki and surrounded by security, deposed Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores took their first trip to a Manhattan federal court. Inside, Maduro lashed out, declaring himself via a translator, quote, innocent, a decent man, and still the constitutional president of Venezuela, before the judge cut him off. He and his wife pleaded not guilty to federal weapons and drug-related narco-terrorism charges. Their next court date is now set for mid-March.
Both sides have waived their right to a speedy trial, meaning this could be quite a bit of time.
In Washington, key Trump administration officials briefed senior members of Congress on the Venezuela operation. Afterwards, top Democrats said they had more questions than answers.
Their plan for the U.S. running Venezuela is vague, based on wishful thinking, and unsatisfying.
Lawmakers are also split on whether the U.S. is at war and if Congress should have been consulted.
We are not at war. We don't expect troops on the ground.
Without question, this is war. They bombed half of Caracas and then removed him.
NBC News reports that in a phone interview, President Trump said the U.S. is not at war with Venezuela, but with people who sell drugs. The president also warned the U.S. could take more action if Venezuela's newly sworn-in interim president stops cooperating.
And President Trump himself is set to address a closed-door meeting of House Republicans today. Trump administration officials are also planning more briefings with lawmakers later this week.
CBS's Bradley, his first full day in office. Paul, we're going to talk to Corey O'Connor right after the news at 7.
Good.
So we have a chance to get some details on his game plan rolling into this new year and what his vision of our city is. I know, and thank Marty for sitting in for me yesterday because of the late Steeler game Sunday night. And Marty had talked a lot about, you know, what the future looks like for the region. And there's a lot of things that are pointing up, including, you know, the expansion of the energy business and artificial intelligence growth, data centers, jobs. There's a lot of opportunity here.
Speaking of energy, I have a story coming up at the bottom of the hour on the effect of the Maduro arrest and prosecution on the oil industry in the U.S.
For those that don't know, Venezuela has been an oil-rich nation for many years and has the favor of many countries around the world.
However, under the last two regimes, Venezuela's oil output has slowed to a trickle. And what they are doing in terms of business is pretty minuscule. I think the output is like 1 million barrels a day when they're capable of far much more. They nationalized the oil industry under Hugo Chavez. And so the American companies who had oil facilities there lost them. And so the talk about maybe having that returned with the, you know, I don't know how that's going to work out. But I can say this. I don't know if you've heard this before, but I think it needs to be repeated often. The oil reserves in Venezuela are primarily what they call heavy crude, and the majority of the refineries along the southeastern coast of the United States in Texas and Louisiana were built to handle heavy crude, and they've been modified and trying to do other things without the heavy crude that they've been dealing with. And of course, this is the world's largest oil reserve we're talking about. So it really is a fact that's not coming out much in the national reporting, and I think it's an important factor in this story about Maduro, don't you?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that's impact on the market coming up right after the news here at 6:30. And that said, Aaron, are you ready?
For
strange stories.
Well, our comrade here, Mr. Rasmussen, spent many years in New Orleans.
And this would be Pete Fountain playing his clarinet.
And it's underway, isn't it?
Oh, are you
Epiphany.
Kidding?
Epiphany, yes.
Oh, really?
Mardi Gras.
Carnival has started already.
Carnival, they call it.
Wow. You know, I have joked in the past and said, oh, I want to go there. But can I handle it, Paul? Is it crazy down there?
Well, it depends on where you go, Aaron. If you go into the belly of the beast, like the French Quarter, it's going to get weird. But if you go out into the suburbs or the parishes, where it's more of a family event, it's really fun.
So okay. What are the big, the food items that we always hear about that are really popular for Mardi Gras,
yeah,
which, by the way, Fat Tuesday is February 17th,
right.
I believe.
That's Mardi Gras itself. Yeah, I would say that people really like their crawfish around this time of the year. Crawfish boils. Also, you probably have people eating a lot of po' boys. Those are pretty popular at parades. What else?
Aaron, have you ever had crawdads?
Crawdads. So believe it or not, I had a friend in college, and when he graduated, who's from Louisiana, and when he graduated, a lot of his family from there came here and made, what's the big pot with all that in it? What is that?
It's called a crawfish boil.
Yeah. So, and we had a crawfish boil, and it freaked me out, but I kind of just closed my eyes and was like, let me just experience this.
How they do it down there is they put newspapers on the picnic table and just dump the contents of the pot onto the picnic table after they've drained it. But typically what you'll see is an entire head of garlic. An entire head of garlic will go in along with, crab boil, spices. Usually Zatarain's is the one they'll use there, not Old Bay. And then you'll throw in shrimp, blue crab, crawdads, and then potatoes and corn on the cob that's been cut up.
Yep, that's exactly what the table looked like.
And is that good or what?
It really was. I was proud of myself for just giving in to it.
Did you learn how to eat crawfish?
Yeah, I'd say so, because I was struggling at first, and he did. He's like, you need some help.
Yeah, it's kind of, for those of you who don't know what is involved, you tear the head off.
Oh, great.
And then rip one of the armor shells off the top of it, and there's the lobster meat.
It's an
underneath
ugly
there.
Ordeal.
Yeah, and if you cut your fingers on any sharp objects, then that crab boil gets into the cracks, and boy, does that start to sting. But it tastes so good, you don't want to stop.
Good God, man.
No, this is a thorough breakdown, but it's the experience.
And you know what goes really good with all of this, Larry? Cold beer.
Yeah, ice cold.
Lots of it.
Sit. Kill the fact that you've just munched on this thing that looks like it crawled out.
I was right where Aaron was when I got started on this thing, and then as I got going, I thought, wow, this is really good.
Mm.
But you can get items like at the parades, you can get items like crawfish bread, where they've done the work for you, like pepperoni roll, only with crawdads.
Now, do you eat the whole time, like from Mardi Gras now to Fat Tuesday?
Oh, no, you eat all the time in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's always time to eat.
I've heard the food is tremendous.
If I could give everyone a ticket to New Orleans and buy them a meal, I would send them all in the French Quarter to the oldest restaurant in New Orleans, Antoine's, and let them have whatever they want.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pick one dish you want, and that, I think, defines what New Orleans cuisine is all about. It's a great mixture there of Creole and Cajun tastes.
So Mardi Gras is underway, and before we move on.
I didn't know that.
Happy New Year. When should you stop saying that to people? Many think by the third week of January, but if you're texting, anything after January 3rd is considered too late. So if you haven't wished your co-workers or anybody Happy New Year, the cutoff is technically this weekend, January 10th. You are not permitted to wish anyone a Happy New Year.
Thank you for that update.
You will be tased by artificial intelligence in your phone. Hey, Happy New Year. We'll get Colin on Tuesday this afternoon from 2 to 6. Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. And good morning. I'm Larry Richard. Good to be back. First full week of the new year brings a lot of anticipation. And joining us from the Fragasso Financial Advisors Group, Chief Investment Officer Michael Godwin. I guess it's still safe to say Happy New Year, Michael.
We got another month left to say that, Larry. So good morning to you, sir.
All right. That said, the outlook, and we just heard an update that Wall Street likes the fact that this capture of Maduro in Venezuela, in terms of the oil markets, things are looking up. Why?
Well, Larry, it's a good question. I mean, it's a significant political event, though I don't think it's I think it's going to be unlikely that it's going to be a major market mover, certainly over the near term. Venezuela is just not largely important to American businesses. So I think when the stock market went up yesterday, most companies are just going about it as business as usual. We look like to be on solid economic footing here in the U.S., but it makes a ton of sense to me that oil companies and oil in general were up yesterday. Right? Anytime there's a geopolitical event, Larry, oil is generally going to, you're going to see a spike in oil prices. And oil companies, think of the Chevrons, the ExxonMobils of the world, they believe they're going to benefit from being able to go into Venezuela and help rebuild their terrible, I mean, they have terrible oil infrastructure there. They could probably increase their output of oil in that country by threefold over the next few years if they simply put some investment in there and rebuilt their infrastructure. So that's why we saw some oil stocks rally quite a bit yesterday.
Overall, Michael, as you know, especially in southwestern Pennsylvania, in fact, the entire state, based on what the governor has said, that the energy industry is expected to have a lift, which includes our natural gas, correct?
Yeah, I don't know if that's not directed to yesterday's movements, but that's just in general to more demand for energy output in general. You're seeing that a lot with the sort of the artificial intelligence or the AI boom that we're experiencing nationally here. And the sheer amount of energy that is required to power these data centers is astronomical. So the more natural gas we can get out of the ground to help power not only that, but also power our homes and our daily lives is going to be very critical in the years ahead.
We're talking with Michael Godwin, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Fragasso Financial Advisors. So, Michael, for the outlook for us in the region, with this artificial intelligence, robotics boom, and all the things that go with it, not to mention even, you know, as a one-off, the NFL draft and what that'll bring to the region, regionally, things are looking up, right?
I think everything in the region is certainly looking up. I mean, we've made that transition from, you know, a steel city a number of decades ago to meds and eds and technology now, and that is the forefront of the future. The only problem with our region, Larry, is the weather. And I think that's what holds us back a little bit. And that's nothing that you and I can control here. As you mentioned earlier, it's going to be raining and cloudy today and tomorrow. And outside of that, I think everything in our region is looking up and up for sure.
Including the Steelers in the playoffs.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right? Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that said, I'm also curious because the new budget and there are new laws that have taken place as of January 1. Are there any that are real obvious that will affect people's ability to retain or make money?
I don't think so. The One Beautiful Bill Act is really going to be helpful for for small business owners and business owners in general. There are some decent tax credits in there. It should be a boost to the economy overall, but from an individual level, there's minor things here and there, but nothing too big from that standpoint.
Well, that said, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll check in periodically if you don't mind, but thanks. Always appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Larry. Always great speaking with you.
Thanks. Michael Godwin, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Fragasso here in Pittsburgh.
Last night at the Children's Museum.
But we're all here to celebrate Pittsburgh, and that's what tonight is all about. We're proud Pittsburghers. We're excited about the new opportunity that's coming to our entire city.
And so today is Corey O'Connor's first full day as Pittsburgh mayor, Larry.
And what's on the game plan? Lots, apparently. And we're going to talk to Corey O'Connor right after your news update at the top of the hour.
The Trump administration is defending the capture of Nicolas Maduro and his wife in Venezuela to face narco-terrorism charges. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Michael Waltz.
The United States arrested a narco-trafficker who is now going to stand trial in the United States in accordance with the rule of law.
So what happens next? I think a lot of people are just wondering what will be the next move.
I put in the search terms just a few minutes ago, what's next for Maduro? And the results proved nothing right now. I don't know if anyone really knows what's next outside of the initial appearance in court.
From a legal standpoint, apparently nothing till March.
That's right. One of the people I follow, who's a legal expert on social media, has indicated that this could drag on for months before they even get to the courtroom. And then DK Metcalf returned to the Steelers practice facility Monday after a two-game suspension.
I'm excited as hell to be back in the building around my teammates, being in meetings, going to practice.
And he was missed, certainly in Cleveland, and they could have used his services on Sunday night.
But there was no comment about the suspension itself or the fan in Detroit who was at the center of the controversy.
Yeah, apparently he was maybe informed, hey, it would be better if you just didn't say anything about all that and let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing he can do at this point is let the lawyers handle the legal situation in Detroit and get back on the field and score touchdowns in the playoffs. That's what they need him for the most.
And I think it was clear the league wanted to send a message to other players. Don't engage with fans, especially during a game.
What about
behind
the fans?
The bench.
Why aren't they addressing the fans?
Well, they should address that individual, too. And I don't know. He got lawyered up quickly, and that part's kind of a mess. But mm-hmm. This guy apparently has been a antagonist who has targeted DK. So,
and I wouldn't be surprised if DK's not the only one, Larry.
So for him not to want to say anything, I guess I understand
good
in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who did want to say something was quarterback Aaron Rodgers, just overall about the Steelers locker room.
I think there's a lot of belief in the leadership of the team. You know, I think there's an important part of leadership role and being as even keel as possible and always believing you got a chance. But it takes moments like this. Back in 2010, we were 9-6 playing Chicago last game of the year, and we eked out a close one in the fourth quarter, 10-3, and it gave us a little bit of belief. And then we went on a run where we were underdogs, I believe, the entire playoffs. We're underdogs at home tonight against our division rival. I think it's going to give us some belief. Now we're playing, I believe, the Texans. Is that right? They're coming off 9 in a row, I think. Who knows if they'll make us an underdog again at home. But the belief level in the locker room after a win like this is exponentially greater, what you want to have going into next week. And then, obviously, we had DK back.
If you were playing on the offense, Larry, and you got in the huddle with Aaron Rodgers after what he did on Sunday night, wow. I mean, how can you not have confidence in someone who will find a way to get it done?
Well, clearly, he's a champion. He's a leader, and that's why they brought him here. And basically, they had that exchange after the game between Tomlin and Rodgers on the field where kind of thanked each other. And as a sidebar, the missed field goal by rookie Tyler Loop, you know who one of the first people was to greet him? Mr. Boswell.
Oh, of course.
Boswell went up.
Right?
I don't know what he said to him, but he spent a moment talking to the rookie.
I mean, this is the Loop stepping into this the shoes of one of the best field goal kickers ever who had to leave the league because of controversy.
I thought it was such a classy move on Chris Boswell's part.
And Boswell himself had plenty to be upset about,
yeah,
missing that extra point.
I mean, which could have cost him the season, too. So,
but the Wizard of Boz is amazingly accurate. I mean, how many times have you seen him miss at a home game, right?
Not many. So here we go. Monday night as the Houston Texans, 8 o'clock kickoff, come to Acrisure Stadium. Mentioned Corey O'Connor's going to join us. Jennifer Barrasso from KDK-TV kind of packaged up his inauguration day.
Hours after Pittsburgh Mayor Corey O'Connor's inauguration, people stood shoulder to shoulder, packed in, for a party inside the Children's Museum on the north side.
But we're all here to celebrate Pittsburgh, and that's what tonight is all about. We're proud Pittsburghers. We're excited about the new opportunity that's coming to our entire city.
Proud Pittsburghers grabbed a button, Corey 62, and some lucky ones got a picture with the new mayor. O'Connor, with his wife and two kids, thanked the crowd and showed his Pittsburgh pride.
Thank you so much. Thank you to the organizers tonight. And again, thank you for your love of our city. That's the most important thing. We are proud to be Pittsburghers. And this is a early tailgate party for the Monday night game. So we will be ready for the Texans next week.
The O'Connor administration has a tough job ahead. An ongoing budget crisis, a dwindling police force, an aging fleet of vehicles, and downtown building assessments in freefall. O'Connor promises to cut costs, improve services, and rebuild the Pittsburgh Police Bureau. He says he has an ambitious plan to increase housing and attract businesses and economic development to the city.
What's the first thing you're going to do in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. But tomorrow, I mean, we're starting early. We're walking some kids to school to make sure, you know, talk about safety when kids walk to school and families. And then we're doing an executive order on permitting. So we have a lot running quickly, and we have to. You know, we want to show that Pittsburgh's moving in the right direction, especially, you know, with the draft coming around. We want to tell a new story by April if we can, and we're working hard to do that.
Two supporters I met told me they believe O'Connor can get the job done, saying he's following in his dad's footsteps.
Well, they're both very people-oriented and Pittsburgh-oriented. They both love Pittsburgh. And they're always go, go, go. There's a lot of energy. Corey's young, and he's going to need all that energy.
I think he's a chip off the old block, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what he's going to do, what he's going to bring. I think he's going to bring excitement, you know, people wanting to come back and do business here.
Jennifer Barrasso, KDKA-TV News.
And we will talk to Corey O'Connor right after the news at the top of this hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.